Hi, everyone. I'm Brené Brown, and I'd love to tell you about my podcast, Dare to Lead. Innovation, creativity, building a better, more just world, all of these things require absolutely courageous leadership, especially given the complexity and chaos of the world right now. The Dare to Lead podcast is a collection of conversations with change catalysts, culture shifters, some troublemakers, folks who are really daring to create and change the world. I hope you join us.
I always made fun of Griffin and Justin for growing up in West Virginia. I don't think I realized that level of difference between rural West Virginia, you know, West Virginia, and then like straight up middle of nowhere rural.
You weren't in West Virginia, were you?
No, I was in South Dakota. But
so still no actual frame of reference.
Yeah.
For all intents and purposes, there were farms and trees and not a whole lot else.
You know that, like, Justin and I didn't have, like, any... Justin and I aren't, like, fucking full-blown bumpkins. Like,
I know that.
To this day, I don't know what tractors actually do. I just assume that they were, like, very inefficient means for farmers to, like, tool around their plots.
They're really fun. Yeah,
right,
they're just,
but
like,
do they till? Are they tilling machines?
Do they sort?
Do they sort things? Is it a harvesting?
I think that's a combine sorts things. Anyway... I was in the middle of nowhere in South Dakota. I had a lovely time, except for the fact that every single day on my vacation at 7 a.m., the following thing happened. Times a billion in terms of loudness for about 5 minutes every morning
at
7 a.m.
Cows trying to fuck?
The local town, has an alarm to wake everyone up.
That's awesome.
Sounds like there's a bomb going off every day at
That's
7 a.m.
That's so fucking cool.
Does everybody like do like a zombie like shuffle to like the central church?
Well, no, because everyone's sleeping because no one gets up at fucking 7 a.m. You're crazy.
Do they perform rituals to some sort of pagan potato god?
I think they have corn out there, actually.
My name is Justin McElroy, and I know the best thing of the week.
My name is Griffin McElroy, and I know the best thing of the week.
My name is Christopher Thomas Plant, and I know the best thing this week.
My name is Russ Frustick, and I know the best thing of the week.
Wow.
It was like a mini vacation for my ears.
This is what happens when I go on vacation, is that I just get a little reboot. And then over time, the tension builds and builds and builds. So
your action winds down.
That's exactly what happens.
This is the Besties, where we take the latest and greatest in tech, sports, games, music, dance, fishing, outdoor sports.
Dance fishing,
and all of it, and tell you what the best things that week are. This week we're going to focus on video games, and I'd like to talk.
Did you say videoed games?
Videoed games.
These games have been videoed.
Come a long way since Pac-Man. Waka 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 waka. I want to talk to Christopher Thomas Plant first.
Oh, hello. What would you like to talk about?
I don't know. I don't have the email open. What do you want to talk about?
I'd like to talk about my best thing of the week, which is...
Now, come on. You got the best what? Like, best...
This is the best shot of joy directly into your heart through a hypodermic needle.
Yeah.
And that comes from the music levels in Rayman Legends. And really, I think Rayman Legends itself is pure
how are you
joy.
Sorry, how are you saying this armless gentleman's name?
Rayman. Yeah, he says it like it's a last name. It's very strange.
Rayman. Everybody loves Rayman.
Everyone loves Rayman.
It's the first time. Stamp it. Plant the flag in that joke here on the Besties podcast first time.
So,
to be fair, it was funnier because of the way he said it. So, like, if no one had made it before this moment, they should have waited for now.
And they haven't. That's why I pointed it out and said we were planting a flag in that joke. It's because we need to get, all four of us need to head to the patent office together with our recordings and just, like, get proof of first concept.
We can mail ourselves a letter,
yeah.
I think.
Mm.
I don't think that holds up in court, actually. Anyway, go ahead. Tell us about these music levels.
Rayman Legends is the sequel to Rayman Origins. They're both 2D platformers. They look like concept art that you can kind of bounce around in from, you know, one to the screen to the next. What's special about these music levels is everything is happening in time with classical music. And I think there's also like a level to a Queen song.
Yeah, I'm going to go ahead and stop you right there. There's actually only one level that has classical music in it. The rest of it is like pop music, like Eye of the Tiger and what's that song? Woohoo, that one. So they're all like, they're like instrumental versions of pop songs, essentially.
Thank you.
I would call Eye of the Tiger classical at this point. I think it's been picked up by the
classical
and
rock.
And same with the classic song woo-oo-woo-oo.
from Kill Bill and all the car commercials.
There you go.
Sure. Yeah. And it feels like a mashup of like a traditional platformer and a rhythm game and an endless runner. And it also, they have such a good sense of humor, the people who make these Rayman games. It's a very European humor. They enjoy a good fart, a block of cheese.
God, you just said the word fart, and Justin and I, like, you got us.
That's all it takes. That's Europe, man. And
look at this funny rabbit going blah.
Yeah.
Ha ha ha.
That was the initial pitch for Rayman Raving Rabbits, actually. Yep. $1 billion idea. That's basically it. It's just a very simple, joyful thing that the more you talk about it, I think the more you take the magic out of it.
So I'm gonna talk about it some more then.
Great.
So essentially,
suck that magic out.
What Plant is talking about is, see if you can imagine this, guys. Try to picture this in your mind.
Got it.
It's a platformer that has rhythm music elements to it.
Oh, this is great. You're going to say what I just said all over again.
Perfect.
Sure, but I'm going to acknowledge the fact that this has already been done before in a game called Bit Trip Runner.
Okay, yeah. So...
Well, that was...
Yeah, except for they're nothing alike. But this is a great point that you've already made once on a different thing that we are about to publish.
It hasn't aired yet, so I guess I shouldn't make the point.
Thank goodness we're going to have a dumb point on two things.
It's a totally valid point, but go to hell.
Frustic, can you pin an opinion piece for us to run alongside this, like...
I'd be really happy to publish
Bermuda
that.
Triangle of dumb shit that you're...
See,
Bit
Trip Runner is like playing a piece of music because you're just learning signals and then you react to them by pressing the buttons.
That's not true.
Yes, it is.
No.
As the person who reviewed it, I can tell you that there are different signals on each level and then you press the button to react to them. And it's the same every time. Here, there's room for flourish. And that's what it's about. It's about the art.
Yeah. That UbiArt framework, man. That's no joke. I can't wait for that Child of Light game. That's going to be dope. Once they start,
what
like,
is that?
The Rayman games are sweet, right?
Mm-hmm. I don't know. Child of Light. What's Child of Light?
So thanks for reading all my GDC Europe coverage. I'm glad that I flew fucking 38 hours for nothing. Child of Light is an indie game that is being produced at Ubisoft with like a team of 40 people that utilizes the UbiArt framework to create basically a Japanese-inspired role-playing game.
Wow.
Wow. Yeah. Well, I was super interested until the end of that conversation.
Well, no, it's a sick idea because like the idea is to take like who's the guy who did Amano, who did the Final Fantasy VI, like all of like the amazing Final Fantasy concept art, and then you play the game and it's like the pixelated version isn't even like close to what they realized. Like Final Fantasy VI was huge with that. The idea is like they can take that concept art and using the UbiArt framework, like make the game actually look like that shit.
Yeah. I mean, that was the disappointing thing. It's funny that you say it's an indie game because that was originally Rayman Origins, too. When they first started that, it was like a team of, five or six people? And it was going to be a downloadable thing, and it became this whole
became shebang. Much bigger. Let me ask you this. What platform are you playing on?
I'm playing it on Vita, as is Fresh Dick.
Yep.
That's in Vita, isn't that like the kind of shittier version? Like some shit missing?
Yeah, it's missing the... five-person multiplayer that's on the Wii U, and it's missing what else? The levels.
it's missing all the levels.
All the levels? So
after I played a bunch while I was on vacation, and I was really enjoying myself. And then when I got back, I went back and read our review of the game, which was very positive. And about half of the review talks about how amazing the invasion levels are. And guess what levels are missing from the Vita version?
The invasion levels.
Yeah.
They're coming later in a patch, which is, they are. But like, I don't.
Why
it's
did
weird.
They release the?
It's so
the
weird.
Things?
Well, that's the thing. It's not out in Europe, I think, or maybe just the UK. It's not out in some European territories because they said they wanted to like polish up the game, but they just went ahead and just fucking launched it in North America. Because,
they know we don't really appreciate it anyway.
I guess we don't give a shit.
To be fair, a lot of news websites that covered it, I won't name any names, they really botched this story.
Oh my god.
They did. Because
why?
They said that we don't worry, it wasn't us.
It wasn't,
thank
God. But they said that, you know, 28 levels are missing and however many hundred looms is how they could tell because those looms weren't there. I'm sorry. Let me push my glasses up my nose. Because the looms are like the coins in the game.
It's 2,800 looms is like nothing.
It's, yeah, that'd be nothing. But teensies, those are the real deal.
Jesus Christ.
And okay. That's what it was missing. It was missing the teensies.
Here's what I'm confused about. Like, everything I'm hearing about this game is that you're supposed to play it on Wii U. Because the tablet shit that's in there is, like, dope. Like, super, super clever. And, like, nobody
disagree.
I know has played it. How do you... It's additional... It's extra shit.
I don't think so, because there's a bunch of tablet-esque stuff in the Vita version. And I'm pretty sure it's very similar to what's in the Wii U version, which is to say you're controlling this dude using touch as the platforming is going on, and those levels where you're using a lot of touch are the worst levels in
the
game.
Well, that's because you're fucking having to do it. Like, the idea is that on Wii U, you have another player doing that shit. It's asynchronous multiplayer.
You can do that. No, you could do that on Vita as well. You can do multiplayer like that on Vita.
It's only that asynchronous mode with one other person playing the normal.
It's not asynchronous. It's asymmetrical.
Asymmetrical. Thank you. I think that Griffin's probably right. From what I've read of other reviews, it's fun with Wii U if you have a lot of people, and then you have that person, Murphy or whatever his name is.
100%.
Because it becomes an antagonist where you can use Murphy to kind of make trouble for people, kind of like you could in the Mario games on Wii U.
Yeah.
And I think that is where the fun is. In terms of him helping out, at least when we played co-op with the Vita version, I unintentionally caused more of a headache for Russ than I did actually. You know,
and if you're only playing single player, you have to deal with essentially the AI controlling whoever's platforming,
which is awful.
It's awful.
I think like Kuchera or somebody ran a story saying like this is a fucking killer, or maybe Penny Arcade guys said like this is a fucking like killer app for the Wii U. If I was Nintendo, I would be kind of pissed off that this game, obviously they should be pissed off that it made it to other platforms, because originally it was only going to launch on Wii U, which is good for them. But like from what I've heard, it's like a fucking great Wii U game.
Yeah.
And I imagine they're just like looking at it going like, God damn, like why couldn't we secure exclusivity, even timed exclusivity for this bad boy? Like, I think it's exactly the kind of shot in the arm that the Wii U could use right now.
Totes.
Or whatever. Wii U.
So let's talk about something else that isn't how sad Nintendo is right now.
Griffin, what do you got going on?
I can tell you what I got going on.
Boom.
I wrote in the email planning session that the best virtual colonic is Outlast, but that might be too gross to actually say.
You just said it.
Oops.
Can you actually describe it? Because I'm not sure.
Describe
like,
what a colonic is.
Well, I know how that works. Are you putting Outlast...
Does the tube go up your butt, or is
the
it like...
The idea... No, come on. Of course not. The joke, I guess, was that like it makes you poop or something like that, because it's so scary.
And you poop so hard that you're actually cleaning.
Colonics are actually really healthy, though.
Oh, I regret even bringing this up, even as like a half-hearted joke. I played Outlast for review for our website, polygon.com. It is... I get it confused with a lot of games, because I feel like they're actually... a lot of games about running through an asylum while like things try to kill you.
Yeah.
Am I just making that up? I know it's Outlast, there's Daylight.
What was that? Not Manhunt. The other one where he's in a prison. I forget. He shoots guys.
Oh, Escape from Butcher Bay.
There it
is. Chronicles of Riddick.
Yes.
It is a game where you are a reporter inside of an asylum, and the asylum is owned by some sort of mega company that's up to no good, and you're there to expose their acts. And like you have a camera, and it is really, you have a camera and a notebook, and it's really the only like tools that you have in the game. You never get like a gun.
Is it like a GoPro
or anything like that. It's a flip video. No, it's like it's an honest to God. It's actually a pretty dope camera because it comes equipped with night vision, and I've never had a camera that has that.
A lot of cameras sort of have that these days.
So you are using this camera to document what is going inside of this asylum, but like shit goes south so very quickly, and then really you're just trying to kind of stay alive. You're trying to outlast these horrible murderous asylum patients, and it is very, very scary. This is the game that I think infamously made Russ Fruchtig cry in public at E3.
That's accurate. There's video evidence of that happening. I played it for 5 minutes on the show floor of E3, loud, boisterous, very well lit, and I literally cried. It was a shriek, and then my eyes teared up, but I would I would describe that as crying, I would say.
There are a few things that it does, like, really well to be very, very scary. The sound design is, like, fucking horrifying. It's all about being chased. Like, that is the like scary thing about the game is that
you can't have sex.
What? Oh God. That you're being chased by monsters. That
so they're forcing you to not have sex. I get it.
For instance, like just one of like the scary things, and it's totally optional, but like while you are sprinting away from monsters and vaulting obstacles in your path, there's a button that you can press to look behind you while you run forward, and it's like you shouldn't, because you need to look in front of you to tell where you're going and where you need to go to hide from these guys. But there is a button you can press to like see this giant deformed monster like feet behind you, just like waiting to tear you apart. And it's like, why would you press that button? It's like a button you can press if you want to be scared.
Well, I think it's the button probably to see if someone is still behind you, right?
Oh, the music will let you know that there's someone still behind you.
Okay.
There's also, like, when you hide, the hiding is very dynamic. Like, you can just, like, go into a locker, which is, like, a very binary way of hiding. Like, you know whether
Will they not, like, open the locker and get you?
They'll open that fucking locker and rip you right out if there aren't any hiding spots, or if they, like, saw you go into the room and they know what's up. Or you can just, like, break line of sight with them. Or if there's, like, a box, you can just sort of crouch down behind it, and it you know, works the same way. It's the night vision also is the fucking scariest thing ever. Because it's not just a flashlight. Like, that's what it does really well. It's not just, like, this flashlight that illuminates right in front of you. It's night vision. So you can have it on right next to a monster that doesn't, like, you're hiding near.
Oh.
And it doesn't give you away.
It's like Sam Fisher style.
Right. But you can fucking see them. And it's like they are right up on your jock, and it is super scary. Also, it cuts your field of vision to like just a few feet in front of you.
Oh wow!
But as you zoom forward, like as you zoom in while you have night vision turned on, that sort of night vision effect is projected out in front of you, sort of like it would be if you zoomed in with night vision in real life. So there could be a monster 15 feet away from you that you can't see.
Oh man!
And you have your night vision on, and then you zoom in, and all you see is like the reflections of their fucking eyes, like a cat in a night photo.
Ah.
Oh man, it's so fucking scary.
So since you can see them and they can't see you, can you do stuff like tie their shoelaces together so they fall?
Yeah, or they were like stick a banana in their tailpipe.
Yeah.
Yeah, there are all kinds of Judge Reinhold-esque hijinks that you can get into. It's very scary. There, it is far from perfect, though. Like, it's so goddamn gory. There are more than 7 billion severed heads inside of the asylum. Like, there are more severed heads than there are human beings on the Earth. So, like... mathematically it doesn't make sense. The gore is just like out of control. I made the point in the review that like 25% of all toilets and sinks in the facility are like jammed with like severed arms and legs. Like somebody just tore somebody's arm off and tried to like flush it down the toilet. And you would think after the first few toilets they would like realize that it just doesn't fit. They're just like you look into a kitchen sink and there's just a face looking up at you like, why is there a fucking face in this sink?
Do you ever get like weapons and stuff, or is
no
it just,
you never get weapons? No.
So you're running away from
the
guys.
Objective, you're just trying to escape,
you're trying to outlast. It's right there in the title.
It's actually fairly linear. The only other like sort of gamey thing in it is that your camera drains batteries pretty quickly. So you have to like there is this impetus to keep moving forward, because if you run out of batteries and you're not finding new ones, then
you're toast.
Just fucked. The thing is, and once you make this realization, I actually feel bad kind of pointing it out because it kind of ruins some of the fear of the game, is that most of the monsters aren't especially dangerous. Like, once you get caught by these dudes, they really have to hit you a few times before you die. And it's so easy to just, like, vault over a table, or there are these, like, crawl spaces that sort of separate areas. If you can just make it to one of those, you're, like, home safe.
Yeah.
And, like, there's no reason why you should be killed by one of those monsters, because it's so easy to get past them. And, like, once you realize that, you can start, like, just blowing by them even before they recognize that you're there. If you're, like, going to an objective, just, like, fucking running right past them, getting to where you need to go, hiding, and then they go away. There's no, like, hiding and waiting for them to pass, which is good because you don't have, like, a distraction. You can't, like, you know, throw a magazine down the hallway. At the end of the game, there are dudes that will, like, fucking shiv you and kill you in one hit, or just, like, tear your head off. And, like, those guys do take a little bit more strategy, but, like, I don't there's not much mechanical danger to these guys. And, like, I it's kind of a tricky thing for horror games, because you have to have some element of, like, fear of failure, which is, like, how games represent death. But you have to sort of balance that with not being fucking annoying.
Right, and frustrating.
And Outlast just doesn't even risk it. Like, most of the guys have very, very little lethality, and they're, like, the checkpoints are minutes apart.
Oh, yeah. That sort of kills a lot of the scares.
Yeah. Well, but the thing is, like, the game is still very, very scary. Yeah. Like, it still gives you that illusion of danger, even though, like, there isn't any, really, to speak of.
Interesting. Well, I think it's time for halftime.
What's been going on, guys? What's everybody been into?
We can talk about the Pokemon Bank.
Great. Let's talk about the Pokemon. Actually, I have a lot to say about the Pokemon Bank.
Okay.
Tell me about it.
So, what's the Pokemon Bank? What's going on, Griffin?
Nintendo announced Pokemon X and Y. Guys, some big fucking changes are coming.
Oh, my God.
The times they are changing. You know how every game you start out and you have to pick between three starters?
Yep.
Now there's two sets of three starters.
Wait a minute.
The second set is the
Isn't
original.
That just six starters?
The original is the second set that you had to choose from, Gen 1 dudes. Talking Squirtle, talking Charmander, talking Bulbasaur.
Squirtle.
This is all incredibly exciting news. The bigger news is that there's a fucking online bank. Nintendo is finally getting into the cloud storage game, but specifically with these imaginary monsters. You can pay a subscription fee.
What? There's a subscription fee to that?
I think it's an annual fee. I'm not clear exactly what that fee is going to be yet. To store 3,000 of these guys, which is like...
Each one of those guys is like a kilobyte. There's no reason they should be charging for this.
You got to be wrong. There's a lot of stats and stats.
It's levels, a Word document.
Stats, individual levels, effort values.
That's crap.
Moves.
It's
move
a kilobyte.
Sets.
That there's no reason. You
trainer.
This.
Trainer ID.
Oh my God, Nintendo.
You can store them. You can also using a separate app. You're gonna have two apps on your Nintendo 3DS to manage.
Just
your...
tell me I have to go back to the home screen to access either one.
Yes, I'm assuming. The other one is Poke Transfer, which lets you move your Pokemons from Pokemon Black, White, Black 2 and White 2.
I should have played that game.
Into your bank. It's a little frustrating for me because I have dudes like in every generation. And the Black and White is only the last, I think, Gen 5. So like there's no way I'm going to be able to like go back to like Fire Red and save those dudes. I've got like a level 70 Mewtwo up in there.
Yeah, here's the thing that I've noticed.
He's marooned.
Here's the issue that I have. I've played Pokemon games where I transfer previous Pokemon to new Pokemon games, and it sort of kills like all of the game balance entirely, and I end up getting very bored because you essentially have like dope Pokemon for every set of levels, and you just crush the game.
Well, there are checks and balances to it, like the
if you can't use 70 Pokemon when you first start, stuff like that.
Well, you can, but like most of the time, they're not going to obey your moves. But still, like no one's going to be able to fucking kill them.
Right. I don't know. It's good that they're planning this stuff, because it's crazy that they haven't had like a unified way to get Pokemon from one game to the next ever. Here's what I don't get, Griffin. And as a resident Pokemaniac, I hope you have an answer for me. Why are there boxes? And why isn't it just one giant fucking box to hold all your Pokemon that you could just sort easily? Why do I need to sort all of my Pokemon into 100-part boxes where I don't, you know where my Staryu is because it's in box 673?
Right.
Like, what is the logic?
There's not 673 boxes. That'd be fucking crazy.
74 boxes,
well, let me hit you back with this other question.
Okay.
Do you keep your underwear and your pants and your shirts and your galoshes and
all
your
in
coat,
one big box?
All in just one big box.
Here's the thing: if that box was a computer that could easily sort my water types from my underwear, I would definitely keep them all in one big box.
Have you heard about the new underwear type that they're introducing in Pokemon?
No, I haven't.
Why? It's weak against everything. I think that is it is assuming that the player has like crazy OCD.
Yeah, and they don't need to.
And like, the bank is taking that idea. Here's the thing: they have needed a better solution for compiling. I think there's like, God, I don't even know how many, more than 600 Pokemon in the last generation. I don't even know what X and Y are going to kick that number up to. Like probably over 700. They need a fucking solution for compiling all of the dudes that you have caught into like a single thing. And I think that this is a step in the right direction, but like not if it doesn't go all the way back.
Yeah, I would say either that or just start killing off like older Pokemon that no one cares about, like Mr. Mime.
Come on now. Wow. He listens. You know he listens.
He does?
Yeah, he's
very
fan.
Quiet. He's a very quiet listener.
I don't even want to engage. Let's move on.
I have a game to talk about. I have a best thing of the week, in fact. And my best thing of the week is the best updated version of Gauntlet I've played, I think, ever. And that game is Hammerwatch. Hammerwatch is it's essentially Gauntlet. Four character classes to pick from, top down. You're going through dungeons, you're collecting coins, you're fighting skeletons and all sorts of stuff. But it just has been updated to like not to remove like a lot of the crappy parts of Gauntlet, like the food requirements and the like bland level design and stuff like that. And in its place, they made like more interesting character advancement and like puzzles to solve and stuff like that. And cool pixel art, which I know Justin's a big fan of.
Oh man, hey indies, I get it. You're lazy.
But I really dig it, and one of the things I dig most about it is that it doesn't require a mouse to play, and it runs on my MacBook Air tremendously, which has made it my go-to traveling game, because you can very easily play it with just the WASD and the arrow keys. It's actually designed to play like that by default, and I've just found myself constantly dipping back into it and hunting monsters and buying spells and doing badass stuff in dungeons.
So I put a considerable amount of time into this game.
How far did you get? What act?
I mean, when I say considerable, I mean I got the lay of the land. I played for about an hour.
Okay.
I didn't really get the appeal. Like I didn't find that much that was like the levels are very expansive, and yeah. I just didn't find that much that I thought was like, I didn't find like upgrades to my abilities or spells or any. I mean, like I got a lot of coins, and it just was the appeal with Gauntlet. I mean, part of the appeal with Gauntlet is like you have these specific levels, and you're going through, and you know you have to get to the exit, and you have to find the key, and you have to find the exit. This first area I was in just kept going on and on and on and on, and it felt like super sort of like I was getting more and more lost in this maze-like thing, and it didn't feel like a level or anything, and the exploration was kind of overwhelming, I guess.
Yeah, I would agree. I think the beginning of the game has some pacing issues, definitely. Like, you don't get to the first character customization merchant for, like, a way too long period of time. You could buy like more health and stuff like that, but the like cool, like where you can buy spells and increase your damage and stuff like that don't come until at least an hour in, if not more. There's something about the like exploration of the levels and finding keys and being really thorough that I found very satisfying. I don't really know why. I guess it hooked into my like what I like about Diablo is being very it's not so much the loot as it is like I'm going to explore every nook and cranny of this place and find all the little secrets and stuff like that. And I really dig that about Hammerwatch. It also supports multiplayer, which...
Wow, we could definitely not get that working.
Admittedly, Justin and I were not able to get that working. There is local multiplayer, which works. You pretty much have to plug a controller in, but if you're on a laptop, it's not really that hard. And that works well, and I actually like the game more with multiplayer because the as with the original Gauntlet, the character classes really complement each other and do a much better job of sort of clearing through levels than you would solo. But I mean, it's not like a world-ending game of the year game, but in terms of like a fun casual I'm gonna play for 10 minutes and then take a break kind of game, I've been really enjoying it and would recommend it to all involved.
Yeah, I'm always looking for games that run decent on the MacBook Air.
They're
a rare breed.
They are indeed, and it runs great on
the Air. Doesn't burn your thighs. It's not a thigh burner?
I don't know. On a desk, it runs great.
Look out for our Mac Air gaming specific website, Thigh Burner.
Thigh Burner.
Faster than Light, Hammer Watch, Don't Starve.
That's Faster pretty much... than Light fucking turns my goddamn MacBook Air into a jet engine.
Like, does it?
Yeah. Yeah, like the fan starts going so hard, it starts hovering off the goddamn desk. Like, I can't. I just don't even bother with
coolant
it anymore.
For your engines.
Hey, Justin, what have you been playing this week?
Well, I've been playing a game for review that's sucking my will to live, but I can't talk about it. So I do want to talk about the brief respite I've had from that game. Has been kind of a surprise. It is Splinter Cell Spider-Bot.
Love the name.
So we talked about Splinter Cell Blacklist.
Okay.
Which is a very good game. And I've been really trying to get all the widgets and what have you, and really make my way through Blacklist. And one of the things that I noticed in the screen was that there was some gear that was locked, and you had to get it from this app called the Splinter Cell Blacklist Spider-Bot. So okay, I'll grab your app. I'll play along. It was free, which was nice. Imagine my surprise to find a really decent, not just one game, but three games.
What?
I know. So you play as a little spider-type robot. You've got the distinctive Sam Fisher 3 light night vision on you. And the game has three different modes that mirror... the three styles of play in Splinter Cell. So if you remember talking about it, there's Ghost, which is quiet and stealthy. There's Panther, which is stealthy but murderous. And then there's Assault, which is all out shooting and killing.
Now, so, if you don't mind, because I know you're going to build it up, I think it's worth pointing out just how awful this sounds. It sounds like a thing that is given to a marketing team where they're like, okay, so we have Splinter Cell coming out. We have three cool modes of play. We want it to include a spider, but also Sam Fisher's magic goggles.
It's not a spider. I mean, he's got three. He's tripedal.
Let me hit you with this. The 7-Up Cool Spot wearing the night vision goggles.
Serving no pizza budget. As the Noid.
Yeah. Okay. We have no money, and we want three games that capture our benign marketing campaign.
Yeah, in all seriousness, what is the... It's a robotic spider, is that correct?
It's a tripedal... It looks like one of the gadgets that Sam Fisher uses.
Okay.
It's not like a spider, like a...
A walking tripod.
Yeah, basically a walking tripod.
Like a little Metal Gear.
Yeah, sure. In the stealth mode, you are trying to get to through a top down. It's all presented top down. In the stealth mode, you're trying to get through sort of a maze like level, maybe a laboratory or a warehouse that's outfitted with motion detection cameras and patrolling soldiers. And you're trying to find a scientist that you can tase and steal intel from and then get back to the exit unseen. So it feels, it captures sort of that early Metal Gear vibe. It's all about like looking for vision cones on the, which is actually represented with a laser sight on the guards. They're like vents that you can hop in to hide. You also have a cloak that you can use. And your
sword. Is it dashing?
No, it's, like invisibility.
Oh, yeah.
So, if you use that, or if the scientist's body is found or you're spotted, then you lose points, but otherwise you get a great score. So that's the stealth mode. In the spider bot mode, which is the Panther style and probably the most unique, you're similar premise. You're running around a maze, but you're being chased by these drones that you can attract, and you're trying to pick up lots of intel that's scattered around the level. And you can run these drones through laser gates as they're following you and try to kill a bunch of them at once, and you get bonus points for staying alive in subsequent levels. And then there's the assault mode, which is basically a pretty good twin stick shooter in an arena where they're sending all kinds of different robots after you, and you have to kill them, and your weapon is upgraded as you kill more and take on bigger enemies and that kind of thing. There's a giant laser cannon in the center that occasionally turns on and shoots lasers everywhere that you have to destroy. So there's three different modes this game, and all of them are pretty decent. And the money that you earn in the game can be, like, the points that you get in the game can be exchanged for exclusive gear and Blacklist. So there's like an upgrade to your goggles that you can only get with this app. There's an upgrade to your boots that are more like assault focused that you can only get with this app. And you can also exchange the points that you get in this game into money in Blacklist.
Oh, neat.
So it's like, it's not only, I started playing it to get the unlocks, and it took a decent amount of time. I mean, it was not a lot of these, they basically just want to hook you into the experience. So like, once you download it, you have it. They just wanted your email address or whatever. Yeah. But there is actually some decent game here. I mean, I there's tons of the stealth levels, each of which is like, it's not randomly generated. I mean, these are all like pretty well designed levels with different hiding places and stuff like that. And there's tons of those levels in the ghost mode, and the twin stick shooter is actually really fun. And the spider bot mode, where you're trying to kill the drones that are following you, is surprisingly cool. It's all touchscreen thumbstick. What I thought it was kind of neat is the thumbstick actually moves to wherever you put your thumb. So like, if you
seen that.
You don't have to find it. It's you know, wherever you put your thumb, which is nice.
I put my thumb in some weird places.
But it's free, and if you're playing Blacklist, then you get some cool stuff out of it. And even if you're not, I mean, it's free. So,
yeah.
It was my biggest surprise, biggest tie-in surprise of the year, because I was not expecting much at all, and I really enjoy it.
Brought to you by Tide. I think that wraps it up.
If you want to wash away terrorism, like so much barbecue sauce, for Tide.
Oh man, so that's gonna do it, I guess.
Yeah, that's gonna do it.
Oh wait, who's like the best whatever thing we do?
I think you are, Justin. I think you won this week.
Yeah, you won. Good job, Justin.
I think you guys are just placating me.
Congrats. What will you do with your winnings, your well-earned winnings?
I'll try to find a way to exchange it into Splinter Cell currency.
Good idea. You can get some cool boots.
At any point, do they refer to it as a spider, like with a Y?
No.
I'm just saying that's a misstep.
Wrap it up.
Okay, so that's going to do it for us here on the Besties. Thank you for your support. We sure hope you've enjoyed listening to the show. If you want more, go to polygon.com. We got all kinds of features and reviews and stories and videos and all kinds of junk. And it's all there waiting for you. Go check it out. Read your fill. And be sure to join us again next Friday for the besties. Because shouldn't the world's best friends pick the world's best thing?
It's got spy in it.
Besties!